Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. Get a little bit of a break from reading all those long scripture passages the past couple weeks. Three verses today. This is Jesus speaking right at the end of his second discourse. He's just finished talking about sending the disciples out and all that they're going to meet and what their job is going to be. And then here is a little bit of a message for the folks that may or may not welcome those disciples. Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Rewards. I feel like I'm like halfway there of saying rewards so many times, it's going to start sounding funny in my head, and I'm going to second guess whether I'm pronouncing it correctly. So if I... that's what we're doing. So rewards. Can you think of a reward that was like your favorite? Your favorite reward. Best reward you ever got. As you think about that, I will share that I asked that question in Sunday school. And we had a couple of answers. There was like a Tootsie Roll Pop. And I shared about the in second grade, I got second place in the science fair. Doing my science fair project, I took apples and sliced them up. And in one, I buried them in salt. And in another, I buried them in salt and baking soda to see which one would mummify the best. And I don't even remember what I was trying to do, but I won second place. And I got a trophy for that. And I kept that trophy for a long time. I finally got rid of it. Hauling it around everywhere. And so I was like, I think that's my favorite reward. And then somebody said, well, what's the difference between a reward and an award? Boy, that'll be fun to say over and over again. What's the difference between a reward and an award? And we couldn't come up with an answer, so I did. I Googled it between Sunday school and worship because I wanted to know for sure. An award is something you get for achieving something. So my trophy would be an award, okay? I did something good. I got an award for that. And then I got rid of it because I was tired of carrying it around. You win the spelling bee. Get a Tootsie Roll Pop. That's an award. A reward is something that's given or promised to encourage you to do something. You think about the reward for helping find a lost dog. I'm not going to go looking for somebody else's dog. I have to do that on my own, for my own dog. I'm not going to look for somebody else's dog unless there's like a couple $1,000 reward for it, right? That's encouraging me to go look for the dog. I'll do that. Speaking of dogs and rewards, we rescued our dog from the pound. It was a kill shelter. The dog was down to single-digit days. It was on the last kennel at the end of the row. It was going to be put down that week. So we took it home, and my reward was a dog that runs away every chance he gets for the past 12 years. Goodness gracious. So a reward is this promise to do something. And you can see how this fits in with what Jesus is talking about. We've talked the past couple of weeks about how terrible this mission is that Jesus is sending his disciples on, right? People are going to hate you. They're going to despise you. There's not enough people to actually do the work. The harvest is great. The laborers are few. So we're understaffed and overworked, and we're going to send you out there anyways. Coming persecutions. Mother will hate daughter, father and son. Your enemy will be your family. How terrible this mission that Jesus is sending the disciples out on. And my joke has always been, sign me up. Here we go. Why would anybody want to do this? But then Jesus here offers these rewards, or so it seems, not only for the disciples, but for those who would welcome them. Because it's hard enough to do the work. but then to be one of the people that is seen with one of the workers could have gotten you in trouble, I imagine. If you welcome one of these disciples, you welcome me, Jesus says. If you welcome me, you're welcoming the Father. What more could you possibly want than to welcome God the Father into your home? Yeah, it might look like smelly old Simon Peter on the road for a long time, but truly, you're welcoming God. So what might that reward look like? As I was thinking about this reward and this questions, I was trying to come up with a little funny example, and I know everybody likes movie examples, and y'all always get on me about using like young people movies. So, Christmas Story. Does that one work? Is that one old enough? You'll shoot your eye out, right? That one. Ralphie, he gets a reward. He's listening to his radio show the whole time. Does anybody remember the radio show? Was it a Red Rider? Oh, that's right. Yeah. Sorry? Little old, yeah, he's the one with the gun, and he's listening to the radio show. Right, and so Ralphie wants to get this toy, this spy thing, so that he can decipher the message at the end of the radio show. And he works really hard. That's the reward for listening to the show every day, buying enough Ovaltine to earn enough points to send off in the mail and waiting until he can get this little decipher thing. And he waits and he waits. He gets his mom to buy him enough Ovaltine. He gets enough points. He collects enough bottles to buy a stamp and he sends it off and it finally comes in the mail and he's so excited. He's got this spy decipher thing. His great reward is coming. And he sits down and listens to the show, and he waits for the message to come at the end, and the guy's reading off the letters, and this, and this, and this, and then tells him what the code is, and so he turns his little thing, and he's translating it out, and the movie builds this great anticipation of his great reward. And do you remember what the message was? Drink more Ovaltine. And you just see this anticipation builds and builds, and then you can just see his completely dejected self. And he goes, a crummy commercial? His great reward doing all this work was just a little advertisement for the company he had to buy the Ovaltine from. I wonder if God's rewards are like that. We ever worried that they are? We do all this hard work. Build this anticipation all throughout our lives just for something to come in the mail that might disappoint us. I wonder. I think we can be realistic with ourselves. If walking the straight and narrow road while all of our friends are off gallivanting, they have a lot more fun. Listen to the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son has a good time until he runs out of money. Is it worth it? Maybe sometimes we ask ourselves, is the reward going to be worth it? And then I think also to the other award in the Christmas story. Remember, the father gets an award too, right? Yeah, you guys are from... Hey, this is better when I talk about movies, you guys know. This is better. The leg lamp. Ooh, it's a prestigious award. The box says Fragile, it's from Italy, right? What happens to that reward? We don't know for sure if the mother breaks it. It could have been an accident. Perhaps it's not a coincidence that the person that hated the lamp the most, that was the closest when it fell, had something to do with it. We don't know. But he's all excited about this award or reward or whatever it is, and it finally comes in the mail in the anticipation, and he's so proud he wants to show it off to everybody, and it breaks one way or another, and he tries to tape it back together and it just falls apart. That reward ends up being no good. It breaks. It falls apart. I wonder if we ever wonder if God's rewards are like that. If we can get all excited about them and they end up breaking one day, something difficult comes along. We feel joy and peace and happiness with God in our lives, this reward for living a godly life, and then something comes along and knocks us on our heads, knocks us down. And that reward, that peace, seems to shatter and break. Maybe we spend some time trying to tape it back together, only to throw it away. I wonder if we ever experience God's rewards that way. And if we do, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because we're all trying to grow closer to God and closer to one another in our community of faith here. But perhaps that shows an issue with ourselves more than with God's rewards. Maybe like the parable of the sower, which we'll read in a couple weeks. Maybe sometimes our faith grows up too quickly. And the sun comes and dries up the plants. Maybe sometimes we get too impatient with waiting for those rewards to come or our faith to grow. And they get gobbled up by something else. Maybe we get to the end of our lives and we never really see the full advantage, the full harvest of what our lives of faith have truly meant. Maybe it's only afterwards, when our children are talking about us, or our grandchildren, our friends and families are remembering us, that the true value of our faithful lives can be seen. Maybe we don't get to see it. But what part of what having our faith is that we recognize that with God's love and forgiveness and mercy, there is something different about this world, that we can make a difference. And I think that's where we've spent all this time talking about rewards, but really the point of the passage is that hospitality. The rewards might guide us to be hospitable and to welcome people. But if we're truly following Christ, if we're truly his apostles sent out to do this work and this mission and to share his gospel, we'll do it with a sense of hospitality. Jesus wasn't concerned about all the religious leaders telling him what he could and couldn't do. He got his disciples to pick grain on Sunday. He healed blind people and cast out demons on the Sabbath, when that was the worst possible thing he could do. Jesus wasn't concerned about sending away children, or even the Canaanite woman. He wanted to send the Canaanite woman out, but he welcomed her eventually. People who would have been unclean, like the woman bleeding for 12 years. Jesus welcomed each and every one of them, whether others accepted and loved them or not. And Jesus sends his disciples out. He sends us out to do the same. And if we're welcoming, if we're accepting, if we're offering that grace and love and mercy to every single person we meet, then Jesus promises that the reward will be great. He'll recognize us in front of the Father. The kingdom of God might just show up. This world that seems so backwards might get turned upside down if we can just be a little more hospitable. Amen.